This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Great to be joined on the line. I have stolen her away from her Dubai holiday. We've got psychotherapist and mother, Anna Martha. She has gathered over 100,000 followers on Instagram who follow her for her truly honest insights into parenting, with that dash of expert advice as well. Anna, thank you so much for joining us. I would just like to say I first became aware of you when numerous friends of mine shared a video that you had posted on Instagram, which talked about the juggle. And this is all around everything that every parent faces, where you did a brilliant demonstration using glasses and coloured water and really showed in such an effective way how there are limited resources, there's limited energy and emotions that we're trying to often spread too thin between work life, family life and personal mental health. Can you tell us about your experiences of that yourself and why you feel like that demonstration is so effective?
Yeah, so I think I had my second baby. I really enjoyed the first kind of postnatal period. I loved the coffee mornings. I loved all of that kind of play dates and things. And then I had my second, and we had a bit of a rough ride. He had silent reflux. And I am very much a kind of self-professed perfectionist. Now I call myself a perfectionist in recovery. And I think I had just tried to do the whole supermum thing. Mm. And it kind of worked before. I just about had the resources to do all of the things, to kind of do them fairly well, you know, the house, the child, the job, and then added another kind of tricky child into the mix. And I was still trying to do the same thing. I was trying to juggle it all so well, and it just kind of broke me, to be honest. And I really had to shift my understanding of what our resources are able to do, you know, how limited we are. And that's kind of just a state of being human. But I think we just see people seemingly kind of doing so well that our standards are just not really where they should be, to be honest.
Completely unrealistic.
So and yeah.
I'm a huge fan of social media. I really genuinely enjoy it. And I feel like there's a huge amount of good out there and finding a community, finding support. But it's often a real dangerous platform for comparison as well. And unfortunately, some of us are too tired or, you know, just not honest with ourselves that we don't realise that everyone is putting often their best face forward. And I think something what you do really well is that balance. Why do you feel like it's important to have an authentic reflection of parenthood on your social media platforms?
I think for me, it's important. I just want to break up people's feeds and remind people that what we see isn't all there is. And we know that, like, cognitively, don't we?
We're
intelligent enough to know that things are filtered, to know that we see the best parts. But when we're tired, we're more vulnerable to believing what we see. We're less likely to be able to kind of have the energy to rationalize, like having those little conversations with ourselves where we notice ourselves comparing against someone else. You know, that takes energy, doesn't it? To kind of check in with yourself and say, hey, maybe it's good just to step away. You know, what you see isn't the whole story. But when we're tired, which we often are as mums, it's harder to kind of have those little rationalizing conversations with ourselves. So I think for me, just speaking about the stuff that, you know, we don't talk about so openly. I think as a therapist, I've been a therapist for 10 years, I've sat with so many people that I have the confidence to know that some of the more vulnerable stuff I share, I could be confident sharing it because I know full well that I am not alone. But when we aren't kind of commonly exposed to some of these deeper chats with friends and we're not kind of exposed to it so much on social media, we do feel alone in it. We do feel like the odd one out. We do feel kind of ashamed of the areas that we're struggling in.
And I think a lot of the time it's that fear of not being good enough, and that's such a theme through parenthood and especially through the early years where you are so sleep deprived and, as you're saying, feeling alone, you know, whether you're, you know, up at 3 o'clock in the morning scrolling through Instagram because you can't get the baby to settle and seeing other people's, you know, amazing holidays and fashion and homes and, you know, these kind of glorious glowing cherubs when you've got a wailing one. It's really disheartening. So I do think there's a huge amount of importance to have a bit more openness, a bit more vulnerability on social media. And what you say, you know, mentioned there being a therapist and you do courses as well. What are some of the concerns and issues that parents in particular are coming to you with, just so we can normalize it a little bit more, Anna?
So there's a lot of like mum guilt. I feel guilty about this. I feel guilty about going to work. I feel guilty spending too much with my child, time with my child, not enough time with my child, doing too many things, not enough things, you know, and it's, I feel guilty about not being able to feed in this way or having to feed in that way. And it's just all of this guilt, you know, and it, where we, a lot of it's just so unnecessary, yet we kind of, we're punishing ourselves in a way, often with the internal voice that we use to speak to ourselves, and it's just kind of perpetuating this feeling of not being good enough. And I always talk about there being two different kinds of guilt. You know, one is justified, where if I feel guilty for being on my phone too much around my children, I get this sense of guilt, and that guilt is there to prompt me.
Yeah, it can be useful sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's kind of useful guilt, isn't it? And it's not there to shame us, but instead of just, you know, feeling ashamed and horrible, it's good to let that guilt just be a prompt. Right, maybe I am on my phone a bit too much. Maybe I need to put it down. You know, and then there's another kind of guilt, which is unjustified guilt, where we're kind of beating ourselves up for stuff that are outside of our control, you know, about the way we've been able to feed our children or how much time we're able to spend with them because of the work-life juggle. And, you know, and actually it's really unhelpful for us to keep beating ourselves up for things that aren't actually our fault. I often say to mums, like, if you went up to in front of a court and you said, I'm feeling so guilty because, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, you know, would they put you in jail for that? Of course they would.
Or equally, would you say this to a friend who's crying over the fact she, you know, can't breastfeed or can't, you know, be there at drop off every morning? And of course you wouldn't, but we do find ourselves saying these horrible things to ourselves time and time again. Now, you've got a book coming out in May this year, so congratulations. Tell us a little bit about why you feel it's important to address the worries and anxieties, especially during that first year of parenting, perhaps why that's been a topic neglected so far.
Yeah, I think people are talking more openly about these feelings of anxiety, but, you know, it's all very well and good knowing you're not alone in it. So it's kind of like, well, I know I'm not the only one that feels anxious. I'm feeling like, can you believe it? I'm feeling anxious about this. And we kind of make it lighthearted, and, you know, we feel great that we know that we're not alone. So that's great that we're having conversation. But in my opinion, it shouldn't stop there. Like, there's so much more for us than living a life that's kind of tainted by fear and worry and anxiety. And there is so much that we can do to kind of claim some of that headspace back that it fills. You know, some of our nights are interrupted because we're overthinking things. And there are ways and means to kind of to really address that, to allow us to enjoy the experience more. So I think the book for me was written because it's great that we can talk more about anxiety, but normalising it isn't particularly helpful, because when we feel something is completely normal, then we're like, well, don't need to do anything about it.
Exactly. There's no call to action there. There's no comfort.
Yeah, like, this doesn't need to be how it is. There's so much more. It doesn't need to affect our experience of parenting in the way that it does.
I think one of the main obstacles, you know, both myself and kind of anecdotally amongst friends and followers as well, is, you know I need help. I know I needed some extra support, but I can't justify the cost or the time of having talk therapy or even reading a book for that amount of time that would mean I could take it on board properly. Were there any kind of quick tips or bit of advice that you could offer to someone who is feeling a bit overwhelmed by parenthood or by a particular point in their day or even by the whole idea of having this tiny person dependent on you? Anything you can start to kind of claim back a bit of power and calm?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's about realising that, you know, often, you know, we say, oh, parenting takes a village, it takes a village. But actually, when we really think about it, we've just tried to become our own village. Mm-hmm. We've tried to fulfill everything ourselves. And we feel that that's our role, is to kind of meet all of those different responsibilities. So a lot of it is actually just recognizing where your limits are. Like with that, the glasses and the blue water, every time we're thriving in one area of life, it takes from another area of life. We don't have unlimited resources. So, you know, I think self-care is absolutely vital, and it's become such a cheesy old phrase now. Like, it makes me cringe, and I genuinely wish it hadn't.
But when we look at the real meaning, the real value behind it, it's not just going to get your nails painted. There is some real truth in there and importance in there.
It's how to love your family. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when my self-care is at its lowest, it impacts my family. I am burnt out. I'm stressed. I'm snappy. I'm not able to respond to the kids in the way that I might like. You know, there have been times when my husband has gone, Anna, for the love of God, like, will you just go and do some yoga or something? Because I'm really hard to be around.
What do you do then? You mentioned yoga there. What are some of your go-tos for quickly or even gradually feeling a bit more like yourself and feeling a bit more capable of giving everything that you want to give?
So for me, it's just like, it's the little things. So it's recognising what used to refuel you before you had kids years ago when time was a bit more of a luxury.
What did you used to do that you enjoyed that you stopped doing and you can't remember why you stopped doing it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we stopped doing it because we're like, well, I used to go to the gym for an hour and there's no way I can fit that in. But how about a 10-minute HIIT session? Mm-hmm. You know, just because it's small, it doesn't mean it's not going to do anything. So for me, recently, I've been getting up an hour before the children. And I've been doing a workout, been doing a little kind of meditation guided thing using an app on my phone. And then I've had a shower. And it's just taking that hour, it's giving me something back. And maybe I read a little chapter of a book. You know, we touch our phone. This is the average phone user, over 2.6 thousand times a day.
I think I'm probably more than
that. Average phone user, and I would not class myself as an average phone user. I do not even want to think. But if we are going to our phone to kind of fill those spaces, what else can we do that's actually feeding us? You know, in that time, might it be that instead of, you know, 5 minutes whilst you're waiting for a washing load to finish, what if you picked up a book that could give you something rather than that switching off to the scrolling, which is actually going to take something from you, because mm-hmm. it rarely leaves us feeling better, does it?
One of the big things that you've talked about before, and something I'm a real advocate of as well, is kind of curating your feed. So making sure you're following people that you do get something from, and that might be almost thinking of Instagram and social media as something of a resource, so people that you get ideas from and inspiration from, rather than those kind of
absolutely
constant comparisons as well. And as I said, social media does get a bad rep, and often for good reason, but it can be really important, it can be really powerful in meeting people both online and offline who, you know, live your values and have and you know, kind of echo what you want to do or who you want to be. I wanted to ask you, Anna, about relationships, because that's one of the big concerns that many new parents have, is that our relationship's going to suffer, you know, things are never going to be the same again. Is that something that you come up against with patients and clients coming to see you who, both mums and dads, and what can we ultimately do to kind of protect ourselves and our relationships through the turmoils often of parenthood?
Well, I think one of those is often dealing with that sense of mum guilt. You know, I feel guilty if we had to spend time as a couple. I feel guilty if we have a babysitter. But ultimately, when you are putting time into your relationship, that's one of the biggest gifts that you can give your children. Mm-hmm. Because when you're kind of not communicating properly, there's often a bit of tension in the air and a bit of snappiness. Like, they pick up on that. So for me, instead of feeling that guilt that I used to feel, it's more like, actually, I'm really proud that we're doing this because I'm doing it for them.
Yes.
You know, if we go out for a date night, or if we get the in-laws to look after the kids for half a day, or, you know, and that's really important. Another thing that has been massive for my relationship is, and it is for many people that I've spoken with, is that, you know, people can be quite touchy-feely before you have kids, and then you have kids, and then everything kind of changes a bit. And I found it such a revelation to think about the concept of being touched out. Like, again, if we think about having a limit on our ability to kind of be touched and be close to someone, and children use that up. So my husband was coming home from work having not been touched out for the day, you know, maybe an awkward graze of someone's knee on the tube. But, you know, and I had been clawed over and mauled.
Yeah, people climbing over you, numerous bodily fluids wiped.
Yeah, so he was wanting to scooch up to me on the sofa and I was just wanting to sit at the other end. And then you were left thinking, oh my goodness, like, what's wrong with our relationship? But I don't feel that way anymore. But once we understand that, you know, that once we think about our resources and think about how they're being used differently, it can really help our relationship and help our understanding of what's going on in these little dynamics that can make it feel like things are breaking, when actually it's just an incredibly normal, temporary phase of being a parent.
I think many of the things you've talked about today is about listening to ourselves and listening to our relationships and not distracting ourselves, if that makes sense. So not picking up the phone, but, you know, really kind of sitting with, how am I feeling here? And what is the situation here? Am I misinterpreting this? Or have I got the wrong end of the stick because of, you know, something from my past or something that's happened today? So if you could give some advice to anyone who perhaps pregnant or has a little one, what would you say about listening, really?
I'd say start listening to what you need, because I think that's the first thing that goes when we're mums. You know, we start fixating so much on what the baby in my tummy needs, what the kids need. Are they hungry? Are they tired? Do they need to go to bed earlier, later? Do they need a snack? And our awareness of our own needs gets kind of shunted out and we'll put right down the bottom of the pile. And I think it's so important to just continue checking in with yourself. You know, what am I feeling? What do I need? Is there a way that I can act on that? Do I need a drink? Do I need some water? Do I need to hydrate myself? Because we're so fixated on making sure the kids have everything that often we're dehydrated and we're hopping around because we need a wee. And we don't even think to kind of meet some of our basic needs. And I think that's so important, because if we're going to be okay for our children and our families, we need to be monitoring ourselves and how we feel and how we might tend to it. Do we need to call a friend and have a conversation? Do we need some space? How can we bring that in, even if it's just for 5 minutes, you know, to meet some of that? So important.
Well, and I'm going to let you get back to your family now. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us.
And your honour. Thanks for having me.
And Mind Over Mother, which is every mum's guide to worry and anxiety in the first year, is going to be out May 14th this year. And you can pre-order it now. Is that right?
Yeah, you can indeed.
It's going to be a fantastic read, I think, for both new and older parents alike.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.